south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander...
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. Yep, we really are going to make this show all about solar energy and getting off the grid. That is, after weeding through all the BS, and there's tons of it, what gringos and expats really need to know about it. We're talking about utility independence for dummies, I mean gringos. And you know, that should be the goal of every expat gringo with a plan B. Top of the list, utility company independence. But first, an email. Now, since we're always interested in the job outlook here in Latin America for gringos and expats who just might need to work once they land down here. So, this one comes from Mr. Chris B. He says, Johnny, what do you think about those embassy jobs in whatever Latin country or city? Are you opposed to them? What are the pros and cons of applying for one of those? Chris, you don't mean going through all that work and getting a plan B going and jumping back into the fire now, are you? Well, Chris, I can see why, in a way, it sounds like it makes sense. Every Latin country has a U.S. consulate or embassy. And when you walk in there, and if you're down here in Latin America long enough, you'll end up walking in there at one time or another, though I advise that you stay away as much as you possibly can. But, you know, if you're getting Social Security, the embassies usually have a Social Security desk in case you've got questions or problems. And, of course, if you need to replace or renew your passport, you'll have to head to the nearest U.S. consulate or embassy. There's just no way around it. And once you've entered through the 4 of 5 security doors and been filmed and photographed, frisked and manhandled about 50 times, you'll see that there's dozens and dozens of people working there. And here and there, interspersed between local Latinos, some noticeably all-American gringos and gringas working there too. That makes a lot of gringos and expats think, how'd they get those jobs? Well, Chris, as for me and anyone who wants to keep a low profile, I say never go for an embassy job. And even if you do, you'll have a slim chance of getting one. Because normally those all-American employees you see at the American consulate were recruited from up in the States and shipped down. And the big hang-up is that you'll have to know Spanish 100%. In other words, you'll have to be able to pass a fairly high-level Spanish language proficiency exam. Up in the States, there are certification courses for that. But down here, you rarely meet any gringos or expats who've done that. Except a few backpackers and low-budget gringos who actually do have a Spanish language degree from a university up in the States. Now, they would qualify. So really, as a gringo or expat coming down thinking you're going to get a job at a U.S. embassy, because hell, they speak English there all the time, don't they? Well, not so easy. Plus, they really don't want to hire you. They want to hire a local Latino who's got a certified TOEFL degree. That means he's bilingual 100% in Spanish and English. That's why when you walk into a U.S. embassy or consulate in Latin America, almost all the people you'll meet there will be Latinos and Latinas that speak English. Now, of course, if they hired you for a job like that, you'd expect to make a pretty good wage, maybe $25,000, $30,000, $40,000 a year, because that's what you'd get in the States, right? Well, these Latino and Latina bilingual people working at embassies and consulates, they only make around $5,000 to $7,000 a year. Those are poverty wages to us, but to Latinos, that's twice or more what the minimum wage is. But more importantly, to Latinos and Latinas, working at an embassy is a real prestige job. Being they're all gringo wannabes, you can't get much closer than that. In fact, if you ask most any young, college-age Latino or Latina where they'd like to work when they graduate, U.S. consulate and embassy jobs, along with radio, TV, airport, government, and media jobs are always on that list. And you know, it's not hard to figure out why even the lard-ass, retarded bureaucrats in government would rather hire bilingual locals to staff the embassy. It's simple. You get 5 or 6 of them for the price of a real born and raised first world gringo. And here's another thing. If you're down here long enough and start picking up Spanish, sooner or later you're going to read one of the local newspapers. Yep, they still exist down here. There's huge lag time in the paper publishing industry. Yep, it'll fade away eventually, but not just yet. Now, if you're curious and you pick up the paper and look in the classified want ads, they'll all be in Spanish, of course, but once in a while, an English-speaking help wanted ad will pop up, and generally, it'll be an embassy job. That's a self-selecting sample because only Latinos who can read that want ad are qualified to send a resume, which also has to be in flawless English. I'm sure that's why I get occasional emails on the subject. Simply because gringos and expats here will occasionally flip through the yellow pages and the help wanted ads, and they'll spot an embassy job ad in English. And suddenly a light bulb goes off in their heads. They're thinking, why, I'm an American and I speak perfect English. That should give me a leg up. Well, sorry guys, it won't. Unless, of course, you're certified in Spanish. And don't mind working 40 hours a week for $500 or $600 a month. Besides that, think about it. Is that why you put in all the effort to get a Plan B going? To get the hell out of Dodge? To jump on another kind of treadmill working for the man? And the man in this case ain't even a man. He's your drunken, psychopathic Uncle Sam. Wasn't getting away from all that part of the reason you got that Plan B going in the first place? So bottom line, the idea of working for a U.S. consulate or embassy here in Latin America? As far as I'm concerned, bad idea. You'd be better off staying up in Cleveland. All right, speaking of getting the hell out of Dodge. Remember, there's still time to get in on those early bird discounts for my upcoming July 2019 Expat Insider Seminar. Just go to www.thenewexpat.com and click on Johnny's seminar link. Once there, you'll get all the information, the price breakdown, everything you wanted to know about killing two birds with one stone, that is, coming down and applying for your permanent or temporary residency in Guatemala, and attending the seminar at the same time. You know, Guatemalan residency is still one of the cheapest and easiest programs to get in on. And once you've got your permanent residency, it leads to a passport nationality in 5 years. So head over to the newexpat.com website, click on Johnny's seminar link, and plan to take a week off in early July to get that fire hose treatment. You'll get a guaranteed 2 to 5 year head start on your own Plan B. Not to mention, we'll be hooking up and hanging with some people that will be very important to you and your future network if you decide to come down and live on a permanent or part-time basis. That's what it's all about. All right, as promised, let's get on with part 4 of utilizing solar power here in Latin America to get yourself off the grid or nearly off the grid. All right, let's do a little comparison. You've heard of the Tesla Powerwall. That seems to be the industry standard for individual standalone solar power systems. I'm sure you've heard of it. The latest one is the Powerwall 2. Now, in talking to some of my engineering buddies up in the States, they always say the Tesla Powerwall is the solar power gold standard. It's definitely what they'd want to have, and if you have an open checkbook, it'll cost you around $15,000 to $20,000 depending on the tax rebates you get from your state. That'd be the power wall, the solar panels, the mounting system, cables, and the attachment to the grid. Now, the power wall is a system that works on and off the grid. That means any extra power you produce, you dump it back in the grid and you get a credit for it. Oh, and I should mention, it's an all-inclusive system that's in one box. Unlike the systems on the internet that look like a rat's nest of wires with 3, 4, even 5 boxes on the wall, stacks of batteries on the floor, taking up half your garage. Some of them you see on YouTube, kind of scary looking, like Frankenstein's laboratory. Well, one of the greatest marketing ploys of the Tesla Powerwall is that it's all in one beautiful package. It's so slick and modern looking, even women like it. Sure, it weighs 400 or 500 pounds. But once it's in place, hanging on your wall, thus power wall, believe me, you're never going to move that thing again. You couldn't if you tried. However, like the Tesla car, it is quite beautiful and sleek. All right, let's say because you have the dough and it is the gold standard, you have a power wall too. And man, is that thing powerful. In fact, it's too powerful, way oversized for the average Latin person's home, and even too powerful for the average gringo or expat's homestead. I'm talking about here in Latin America, not in Chicago or Cleveland, where you've got some heavy heating and air conditioning bills. And here's the facts. A Powerwall 2 has 13.5 kilowatt hours of storage energy in the batteries. 13.5 kilowatt hours. Now, I know about solar systems in Latin America, and I can tell you only really need about 8 kilowatt hours of storage energy if you're a gringo or expat and have a decent-sized house here in Latin America. And that includes you if you've got a nice, efficient air conditioning unit or two, though not central air. So I repeat, from the point of view of gringos and expats living in Latin America, to have a Tesla Powerwall 2 is big overkill. But when it comes to solar energy, overkill is good because think about it. If, as mentioned, you only need 8 kilowatt hours, not 13.5, that extra 5.5 kilowatt hours that's stored in your battery that you'll probably never use is there for the future. For example, when you get an electric car. Because, you know, there will come a time, and you're going to live to see it, where there's nothing but electric cars. the internal combustion cars, man, who knows? Maybe they'll still have Ferraris, Lamborghinis, and Maseratis, you know, specialty cars for guys who really like beauty, power, and speed. And, of course, they may be necessary as psychological aids for guys with small penises. But undoubtedly, in time, everything's going electric. In fact, in Europe, the States, China, Japan, they're forcing legislation so that by 2030, that's all you're going to see on the road. So why not be ready for it? Just keep in mind that if you're going to go completely off the grid, you'll need at least 8 kilowatt hours of battery power. And the purpose of that is to run your house at night. And during the day, since you have solar panels, they'll be providing the power for you and charging the batteries too. Oh, and one very important thing, always go with a unit that has lithium batteries. Never the old standby lead-acid batteries, you know, the kind you see in cars and golf carts. That's Dark Ages technology. Why? Because they're 3 times as heavy as lithium batteries. There's lots of maintenance. They last about a third as long as lithium batteries. Worse yet, most of them need ventilation because they gas out. So, don't even think about it. Even if you locate a poop load of them at a rummage sale, get them for free. Don't do it. Go lithium ion because they got 3 huge advantages. They're a third of the weight. They're sealed completely, so they have zero maintenance. And if you treat them right, you can get 2 to 6 times the life out of them compared to lead-acid batteries. You know what that means? You could charge and discharge those batteries 3,000 times before they drop down to about 80% of their rated value, whereas lead-acid batteries claim only a charge cycle of 500 times. Now, the average person that doesn't know too much about solar or batteries, I'll say, 3,000 times, that means every night I'll be using my system because obviously there's no sun, so I'll be sucking the battery power, right? And if my lithium-ion batteries are rated for, let's say, 3,000 charge cycles, that sounds great. Until you do the math, then it seems fishy. So let's do the math. 3,000 charge cycles divided by 365 days in a year, a little over 8 years of practical use. Now, the average person is going to scratch his head and say, 8 years, that's it? I'm paying all this money for these lithium-ion batteries, and they are a lot more expensive than the lead-acid. Well, that's where most people are completely wrong. What they don't know is that when companies give a charge cycle rating at 3,000, that's the absolute worst case where a battery is taken from full charge, let's say when the sun goes down, and drained all the way down through the night till it's only got 10% of its full charge, and you don't want to take it any lower than that. By the way, that's another reason why lithium batteries are so much better than lead acid. You could take them down to 10% of their full charge. They can handle that. They're rated for it. And lead acid batteries, you should never take them below 50%. That's one way to cut a battery's life very short. So anyway, as mentioned, some manufacturers guarantee 3,000 cycles on their lithium batteries. That's a little over 8 years of use if every night you drain your batteries down to 10%. But here's the thing, you're rarely going to discharge your battery down to 10%. Think of this. You've got solar panels, right? And during the day, when the sun is high and hot, those things are going to be kicking out some big-time energy. For example, I recommend 5,000 watts of solar panels on your roof. That's all you'll ever need, really. And if you have the really efficient newer panels that came out just in the last year or so, that would be around 15 solar panels. Total cost, around $2,000. Now, follow me on the math here. It's going to be easy. There's something called solar radiance. It depends what country you're living in. You can look it up for the country or area you live in really quickly on the internet. For example, if you're living in Panama, the average solar radiance month over month is around 5, a little higher in the dry season, not many clouds and not much rain, and a little lower in the rainy season, but average 5. That number makes it really easy for you to calculate how much your solar panels are going to put out every day. So, let's say, as recommended, you have 5,000 watts of panels. That'd be about 15 of the newer ones that put out around 330 to 370 watts per panel. So for $2,000, you could have all the solar panel output you'll ever need. We're talking average gringo family of 4 here in Latin America. But wait a minute, during the day, the sun's all over the place. At noon, it's maximum. Sunset, sunrise, it's minimum. Well, that solar radiance factor takes all of that into consideration. Let's do the Panama example. Average solar radiance, 5. All you do is multiply that 5 times the wattage you got on your roof. I recommend 5,000 watts. That means every day, your solar panels are putting out 25,000 watts. That's 25 kilowatts. Now, suppose you've got that gold standard Tesla Powerwall battery, which stores 13.5 kilowatts. That means in Panama, every day you could not only completely charge your Tesla Powerwall from 10% charge to maximum charge, but you'll have another 12 or 13 kilowatts left over. That's huge. So figure it out. With 30 days in a month, that means even if you're producing an excess of 10 kilowatts a day times 30 days, that's 300 kilowatt hours a month you can use during the day without going into your batteries or sell back to the grid. But as I mentioned before, very few Latin countries let you sell back to the grid. There are a few, but I don't recommend it because then you're tied into their grid system. Not a good idea. Better to go off the grid, but keep theirs around as a standby. Don't cut them off completely. Just pay the minimum $2 or $3 a month to keep it active. So how do you do that? Well, you have a fairly big, maybe 50-amp breaker that'll isolate you from the grid completely when you're running your solar system. A real easy thing to do for your average neighborhood electrician or do-it-yourselfer. The cost to install a heavy-duty double-pull, double-throw switch like that, maybe $50 or $75. So here's what I'm suggesting, and I'm doing it myself. Get yourself 5,000 watts of solar panels. That's about 15 330 to 350-watt panels, around $2,000 these days. Then, of course, you'll have to mount them. You'll need the racking. You know, the aluminum rails and stainless steel connectors to fasten the panels to your roof. By the way, I just visited a solar power outfit, and they told me they'll charge $25 a panel to mount them for you. That is, they'll put the racking in, screw them in, put them all down the correct way. So the cost for the metal racking, maybe $300. And then have a professional outfit mount them for you for another, let's say, $400. That's pure labor. And I'd say you could negotiate that labor price down to half or less if you're a good haggler. My advice, you buy your racking, the metal mounting stuff, here in Latin America. You don't buy it online from Alibaba, Amazon, or any of the solar suppliers up in the States. Because that stuff's just as cheap down here without the hassle of shipping and import taxes, etc. Oh, and up to about a year ago, I would have said, buy your solar panels online from one of the big solar panel companies in the States and have them shipped down to a cheap Miami freight forwarder that doesn't go by air, by boat. Because if you order 15 of those, they're going to come on a big pallet. They're heavy. And if they're shipped by boat from Miami to Panama or Guatemala or Honduras, whatever, the shipping charges might only cost you, believe it or not, $200, $300, or $400. So you've got the cost of the panels around $2,000, the shipping $300. What about taxes? Well, surprisingly enough, a lot of Latin countries are exempting solar panels from taxes these days. Well, I guess in every government, they've got a few people with a brain size bigger than a pea. In fact, I've ordered solar panels online from a company in Canada. They shipped them to Florida. They came to Guatemala, etc., etc. And really, there wasn't much of a problem. Bit of a delay because they get stuck in the aduana, you know. But I wasn't in a hurry. I have just recently changed my mind about ordering solar panels on Amazon or from Alibaba or any other place outside of Latin America, because now if you check on OLX, which is the local Craigslist of most of Latin America, you'll find there are all kinds of companies selling solar panels. I mean cheap. Some of the latest, greatest high output models too. Well, how'd that happen? Well, here's the thing. There are lots of big companies putting up solar panels in Latin America now, mostly on commercial buildings. In other words, there are grocery store chains, gas stations, manufacturing plants, etc. going solar. Not to mention solar farms are popping up here and there too. When solar installers get a job like that, they order hundreds of solar panels, containers full. They always overorder and have excess stock, it seems. And where do you think that ends up? On OLX.com. In fact, just the other day, I was on OLX and I found 5 different solar installation companies selling 330-watt panels. Excellent brand names too, in the box for $100 a panel. And it wasn't just a one-time fluke either. There were 5 different companies selling different models of 330-watt panels. Now, if you do the numbers, and like I said, you want 5,000 watts on your roof, divide that by 330 because in this case there's 330 watts per panel. That's 15 panels. Actually, you always want to have an even number of panels. So you'd want 16 because if you know anything about hooking up solar panels to your power and controller battery unit, there's usually 2 identical strings of solar panels in parallel that you connect. So everything will be set up in matched pairs or triplets. That's 3 panels in series and then paralleled into your solar controller. But we won't get into that. It's a little complicated, a little different for each situation too. Anyway, we've been talking about the Tesla Powerwall 2 and how it's the gold standard. The fact is, if you've got a really big place and you're running a farm or something, you could stack those things up. One Powerwall hooked in parallel with another, then another, then another, ad nauseum. But 99.9% of the time for regular expats and gringos living in a house, apartment, whatever, you'll just need one. But here's the kicker. I personally would not buy a Tesla Powerwall. Why? Because engineers talk. I know a lot of guys up in the States are saying Tesla's not going to be in business too very long. You've probably read about their problems. They're late on everything. They're mortgage to the hilt, bleeding cash. Tesla car sales are way down. They keep borrowing huge amounts of money, and they're a year or so behind in their delivery of Powerwalls. Here's the good news, and it's really good news. Did you know the lithium-ion battery system used in Teslas were developed in a joint venture with LG and Panasonic, who have all their manufacturing plants in China? Well, keep that in mind, because here's the great news. Right now, there are a slew of Chinese companies making pretty much the exact equivalent of a Tesla Powerwall, with all the internal components and guts basically the same and the very same batteries. Get this, for half or less of the price of a Powerwall with the same guarantee. Even better, you can order these units direct from China, and some of them will hang on a wall like a Powerwall, but some of the companies are making units that look like small file cabinets with wheels on them that are all-inclusive, ready to go. You could set the thing up in a half an hour or less. As long as you got solar panels on the roof, as soon as you roll it into your house, you're off the grid pretty much forever. The thing is, unlike Tesla, they come in all different battery sizes. However, kudos to Tesla. The Powerwall guys have kind of got it worked out to 13.5 kilowatts as the ideal amount of battery storage for a U.S. home. So basically, Tesla's done all the homework necessary. Now, I've personally honed in on one of these Chinese companies that produces their own kind of Powerwall, complete. I'm on my third order from them right now, and really, they're a fantastic company to deal with. They respond right away in English, or their version of English. Man, their units are fabulous and indestructible. Now, the latest unit that I'm setting up shipping with right now is a 13.5 kilowatt unit, like the Tesla Powerwall. Looks like a little file cabinet on wheels, and it weighs about as much as Oprah. That means once you've got it home and in place, you're not going to want to move it. At least you don't have to wall mount it. That means you don't have to bring in a crew. It's on wheels, unlike Oprah. Now, here's the thing. This company and maybe the other 20 rival companies that make pretty much the same thing, they sell different size units with various battery packs. Some much larger than 13.5 kilowatts, as well as small units, portable units that you could take camping with you or throw in the back of your car, strictly for emergencies if you want to or have to bug out quickly and never be without power. Yep, I've ordered one of those too. It's just a small 1 kilowatt unit, but plenty for bugging out. It's about the size of an airline stewardess's luggage bag with a handle on it, weighs about 40 pounds, and comes with 2 suitcase solar panels, each of them 200 watts, so 400 watts total charging power when the sun's out. And let's say, for example, there is a disaster, a hurricane, extended grid down, power outage, or you just want to go to an isolated beach for a couple of days and just hang out. If you take this thing with you, you'll have power all day and all night. Yep, you can charge your devices, even run a refrigerator, TV, laptop, all at the same time. Indefinitely, because it's got a big lithium-ion battery and it's solar powered. By the way, just last week I showed this thing to an engineer friend of mine from Venezuela. He dropped his jaw and said, "Man, where'd you get that? I want one. I want 10. If my family back home in Venezuela had one of these, there'd be a line around the block 24/7. People would pay just to charge their smartphones. And the cost for this tiny Powerwall unit and the solar panels? About $1,000. Coming straight from China, too. But man, talk about a lifesaver and a prepper's dream come true. That's what this little portable unit's all about. So anyway, besides that little portable unit, here's the recommended whole house setup. 5,000 watts of solar panel and one of these Tesla clone power walls from China. So what about the cost for this thing? Well, I know a guy in California who's got a Tesla power wall too, with 5,000 watts of solar panels on his roof. And he paid for the entire system installed around $19,000 and with a tax credit around 14 G's. Now, as compared to the pretty much identical setup that I'm talking about, the Powerwall clone portion around $5,700. And the panels around $1,500 because I'm getting them off OLX, and the metal racking, cables, and accessories, grand total about 8 G's. Remember, that's straight cash. There are no tax credits or rebates for solar here in Latin America. So the best thing to do is to order the Powerwall clone unit from China, buy your solar panels, your racking, and everything else in the Latin country you're in. Now, you could order your solar panels online from a Chinese, Canadian, or U.S. company, and you'll pay around $140 or $50 a piece. But why do that when you can get them for that or less here? So my advice, skip that. Go to OLX.com or the local Craigslist. You're bound to find some of the latest, greatest solar panels for sale. And you don't want to mix and match. You want to buy the same brand, the same wattage. By the way, these days, anything over 300 watts a panel is a fairly new, recent, high-tech model. And when you find some panels you're looking to buy, check out the spec sheets on the internet and see if they're good panels or not. They're all rated. Now, as for the main part of the system, the so-called Powerwall Chinese clone, you're going to have to order that. It's the unit that, as mentioned, weighs about as much as Michael Moore. Or was it Oprah? Or was it Kim Jong-un? Can't remember. And like I said, I've done a lot of research sussing out these companies, and I've ordered from one particular one I'm very happy with. So here's the gig. You order from that company. You pay them with PayPal, Visa, wire transfer, whatever. They'll ship it from China all the way to the nearest port in Latin America. And what's it cost? Maybe $300. And once it lands at your Latin port city, you'll go down to the port and pay the taxes on it. That's the IVA, I-V-A, sales tax. Anywhere from 10 to 22%, depending what country you live in. On top of that, in some Latin countries, you'll have to pay an import tax. As mentioned, some Latin countries don't charge tax on the panels, but they will on the Powerwall or Powerwall clone. Depending on the country, that ranges from 0 to 15% based on the invoice price. Now, here's something you didn't know. Get this. Practically every Chinese manufacturer will let you put down your own price on the shipping invoice. In other words, you just tell them to send an invoice with a lower price. They'll do that. For example, for that $5,700 unit, they put down $2,400, about half. And why not? They were glad to do it. They made the sale and got their price. All right, I know some of you are thinking, Johnny, what a dishonest SOB you are, screwing the government like that. Well, all my life I've had this standard. I'd never knowingly rip off a person or pull the wool over anyone's eyes on a business deal. I'm never dishonest when it comes to individuals. But governments, they're just corrupt, dishonest, parasitic organizations who will stick it to you every which way they can. So if you can stick it back to them, more power to you. You deserve a medal. So in the end, no matter what you put down on the invoice, the government gets its pound of flesh because they're still going to nail you. IVA, sales, and import taxes. Just softer sounding terms for thievery. All right, we're at the end of the show and I'm not finished with the topic. So, next time, Solar Energy for Gringos Part 5. Or, how to give the thumbs up with your middle finger to the power company. You've been listening to the Expat Files Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, you can schedule a one-on-one phone call with me. But first, download my free Plan B questionnaire at www.thenewexpat.com. Better yet, if you want to get your Plan B going from right up there in the States, just sign up for my 9-hour Expat Essentials course. Get the perfect Plan B blueprint by going to theexpatfiles.com/academy. Nos vemos!